Hello and welcome to this edition of the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. This week, Pastor Don Bolt shares his thoughts on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As always, the notes for this and every sermon featured on this podcast are available at our blog, henriettacia.blogspot.com.
Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he didn't raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, and when he hands over the kingdom of God, to God and the Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Christ is risen. You know, that's right, Christ is risen, you know, and we don't celebrate this morning merely to commemorate the death of our Lord. But we celebrate this morning to declare his resurrection and his resurrection power. We celebrate this because he said to do this until he came. You know, that there is a day of his coming, and that we will rejoice in him to receive this in his presence. And so, you know, from the time of that resurrection to the time of the ascension to the time when we see him again, we celebrate this. And what you hold in your hand are emblems, for sure. But Christ, you know, gave us an understanding, and he said there was something more to it than that, and that we should be receiving blessing this morning. You know, by receiving this, you know, it's not just a cracker and some juice. You know, it's a place that Jesus said he'd meet us, and that he would touch us, and that we would be reminded until the day that he eats this up with us again in his presence forever. And so this is the body of Christ given for us, and take it, eat it in remembrance of him. And this is the blood of Christ. This is the New Testament that was in his blood. And that New Testament, that new covenant, is the covenant that brings us back into his presence forgiven of our sins with great joy. And so take, drink it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Merciful are you, O Lord. Lord, we rejoice in you. And Jesus, we declare this morning your resurrection. Resurrection power, Lord. And Lord, we pray that each of us, Lord, as we consider your word set before us this morning, Lord, that that our lives be changed. Lord, that in each day that we live for you, more and more, Lord, until the day of your appearing, until the day when we are with you, Lord, that that your presence, Lord, become mightier and mightier in us. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I spent some time, there's somebody who wrote a book about liking to do things the hard way, I just decided to look up all the words in the New Testament, resurrection, raised, risen, rose, rise, you know, look up every reference to every one of those in the New Testament. And just to take a little bit of a question, you know, then separate them out and just look at the ones that referred to Jesus, you know, and his resurrection. And what is it? What is it that the Word of God tells us about the resurrection? I ended up dividing it up into three pictures, if you will. One was a picture of Christ and what the resurrection meant for him. Second was the resurrection as it's applied to us now. And thirdly was the resurrection as it's applied to us for eternal life. And so I just want to share these with you. And if you're interested in the references, I mean, I'll definitely give the references, but you can get this. There's some copies by the doors, and then if we run out, it's available online. Just go to the church's blog, and they're right there. Okay. So first of all, Christ was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's from 1 Corinthians 15:4. He is risen just as he said. In Matthew 28:6, and Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. That's Romans 1:4. I love Romans. It's just like, you know, you know, it just gets the fists up and says, "Let's go at it. Let's have it here, have it out right now." And then this is in Ephesians. And Ephesians presents a picture for us that. It would be well for every Christian to spend some time in, to understand that in Christ and in that he lives, and that he lives and that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and that he sent forth his Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? And this is just, you know, kind of, there's a lot of, what do they call it, ellipses, little dot, dot, dot things here like this, because it was just a lot. But anyways, he was raised from the dead and seated in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. By the way, all that authority, power, and dominion, just so you understand, Christ created that for himself, all right? You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Those principalities and powers, they were created by Christ for himself, all right? Now, you know, you have to understand, when sin entered the world, a lot of that went into rebellion. It needs to be brought back in subjection to him, all right? But the Bible actually, it's in Psalm maybe like 64, somewhere in there, I'd have to go dig it out again, actually pictures the world as covered with all these tiny little shields of authority. So that every place on this planet that God made is covered with authority. All right, now understand, you read about it in the Scriptures, and right now that's a difficult thing. You know, the angels coming to answer Daniel, says, "Well, the Prince of Persia slowed me down." All right, you have to understand, these authorities, they were created, you know, for God's purposes, but they aren't fulfilling them right now. But nonetheless, it says that in heavenly places he was seated far above all the rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Then he raised us up and seated us with him. That's from Ephesians 2:6, and the other part was from Ephesians chapter 1. It says he was raised for our justification in Romans 4:25. And in Romans 8:34, it tells us that Christ was raised and he is at the right hand of God and that he intercedes for us. And I want you to see kind of the heaven side of this whole thing and understand that Christ rose from the dead and that because he's alive, because he's risen, that he's active. You know, I don't want you to picture a historical Jesus and then just leave it there. We have a historical Jesus. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot to be learned from the history of Jesus. But I want you in the resurrection to understand that right now of Jesus, that Jesus is right now, all right, that he is right now seated at the right hand of power, that he is right now alive, that he is right now seated in those heavenly places over all the authority that there is in the earth and in the age to come, and that he is right now giving you the ability to be able to sit in those places with him, that when you pray, you know, you certainly pray as a person who understands, I'm a human, you know, and I'm praying to a mighty God. But I also want you to understand something, that, you know, you have a seat at the table, okay? You know, you have a seat in his presence, all right? Now, I don't know if you know this, but you don't generally sit down in the presence of a king, all right? But you have a seat, because you're part of the family. He was raised again for our justification, that you were released from guilt. I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to go to maybe like a family reunion or some gathering and realize, I got some stuff I got to take care of before I see these people because, you know, they're mad at me about something. If you've never had that experience, you just haven't been paying attention, okay? You know, because most of us at some point or another, whether it was just, you know, going to see the boss who wanted to see you and you realize, yeah, I kind of missed the deadline on that, didn't I, you know, or whatever. And then you find out that isn't what he wanted to talk about anyway. But, you know, but just that experience of going somewhere and feeling like that there's something that I've done wrong that means that maybe I shouldn't go. And what I want you to understand is that when it says that he was raised again for our justification, I want you to understand that when you get there, he's there, and he's the one who will welcome you. You know, that scene where it says that he says, well done, you good and faithful servant, enter into the joy. That enter in, he's the one who greets you. You know, I, for some reason, they like to look at this as St. Peter's at the pearly gates, but I got to tell you something. It's Jesus that greets us. And Christ is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. You know, what is Jesus doing right now? You know, well, I'm guessing he's listening to worship, but the other part of it is that he's interceding for you. You know, he is putting himself between you and all of those things that need to be prayed about, that he's putting himself between you and the penalty that could be exacted upon you. He is interceding. He's putting himself in between, and he is speaking before the presence of his Father on your behalf. But what about us? Colossians 3:10 says that we are risen with Christ. You know, if you then be risen with Christ, all right? In other words, if you've experienced, you know, spiritually for now in this life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you then be risen with Christ, it says seek those things which are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, okay? Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, okay? But so it says we have, this is from Acts 3:26, we have been turned from our wicked ways by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right, through the resurrection, we should walk in newness of life, according to Romans 6:4. And I have to keep bringing you back to this, that if God says to do it, you know, sometimes you ever have God tell you to do something, you think, I don't know if I can. Yeah, I've definitely had those days, you know, where it's like, you know, here, I want you to do this. You want to do what? You know, it's like, I mean, I can't. I've tried. You know, but I want you to understand something is that. I remember learning this in business school before I was saved, and I never knew how powerful a teaching it was, except that it stuck right here, you know, and I could never get rid of this thing that this person said. He said, in business, he said, if you want to be successful, he said, every time you give somebody a responsibility, you have to give them the authority to do the thing you've asked them to do. And he says, and if you want to figure out what's wrong with a business, he said, most often you can find it in some imbalance in this. He said, because if people have authority without responsibility, he says, they'll be abusive. He said, and if people have responsibility without authority, they'll be frustrated. Well, I'm going to tell you something. In the kingdom of God, you know, if God told you to do something, you got the authority to do it. Okay? You have the authority to do it. And so when it talks about walking in newness of life, I want you to understand, I'm not going to tell you aren't going to have a fight. All right? Jesus had a fight at the cross. All right? Came away battered and bruised, but he came away victorious. All right? I can't tell you that life's going to be easy on you. In very fact, Ecclesiastes, which I was told, somebody once told me this, and I think I may have mentioned this once before, but I was a wonderful teacher over at Roberts Wesleyan College, and we were studying the book of Ecclesiastes, and he said, and I never could quite get Ecclesiastes, but he said, you know, Proverbs is a book of wisdom when life is as it should be. You know, gray-haired people are wise, and you know, and young men are strong, and you know, and it just it's a book of wisdom for one thing. He says Ecclesiastes is wisdom for a bad day. But you know, there's this place over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 where it says that through the sadness of the countenance, your heart is made better. And I started thinking about that. You know, some of the most substantial people that I know. In fact, when you meet a substantial person, just ask them. Just don't even worry about it. Just ask them, so what happened? All right? Okay? Because if they're substantial, something happened. Something happened to them. I can guarantee it. I mean, how many more politicians, you know, in their later years when they finally start talking about it, people say, well, why did you do all the stuff that you did? And they start telling about some tragedy that they experienced. And tragedy brings about one of two things, the best people and the worst. You know, you start to tell a story of somebody who's been through hell and back, you know, in their life, and you think, oh, this is going to be the story of what, like some, like, you know, big criminal or something, you know, some really evil person. It turns out to be this wonderful person. And then we ask questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, Jesus would question the issue about goodness, but nonetheless, it's just, yeah, it is kind of a question that we struggle with. You know, good people, and it's like, wait a minute, maybe they became good people out of the bad stuff that happened. You know, and so what I want you to understand is that you have authority through the resurrection, according to Romans 6:4, to walk in newness of life. He was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit for God. That's Romans 7:4. You know, there's this issue of fruitfulness, and over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, it talks about, you know, that we need to be after God all the time, to be growing in Him so that that we won't be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it can happen. You know, we could spend our whole lives, you know, just doing stuff for ourselves and figuring out how to get to the beach. Nothing wrong. You can go to the beach. Say, oh, man, we're going to the beach today. No, every time I pick on somebody's going to go do that. I picked on TV and somebody just bought a flat screen. And I'm like, sorry, you'd still watch it. Just watch good things. Anyways, but it's for us to bear fruit, okay? What's the fruit of your life when you see Jesus and He says, what'd you do with all that stuff I gave you? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we are made alive forever through His resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15:22. We are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 1:3, I love it. We have a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible looks at this way. It says there's these two voices speaking inside of us. All right. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but there's a couple times in the Bible where somebody's soul is speaking to itself. Wait, how do you do that? Got to be two voices in there. All right. David in the Psalms, he says to his soul, he says, why are you so disquieted within you, me, oh my soul? I mean, soul is mind, will, and emotions. So who's talking to his soul? But there's two voices in there. We all know about this. You experience it pretty frequently. Jesus, when he's speaking to his father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done. Wait a minute. So now something inside him had a will and he was speaking to it. There's two voices in there. All right. And so the Bible, this idea, this answer of a good conscience says that, you know, that we understand that there's this conflict in us. David Wilkerson many years ago wrote a book called The Two of Me. And he talked about how, you know, we have the struggle. You know, there's this person that we want to be. And there's this person that we seem to keep tripping over. You know, who is that? Okay. You know, Paul talks about it in Romans in chapter 7. He says, you know, he says, the things that I desire to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And there's this struggle inside. But through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all right, we can have the answer of a good conscience. That the one of me that's supposed to live, the one of me that's supposed to be, so that I can be single-minded. The person is double-minded. How can you be double-minded? Because there's two voices. All right? And see, if you got two voices and you're trying to listen to both of them, trying to make both of them happy, but there comes a point when you say, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I choose. I know which one's righteous and holy. We all know. And by the blood of Christ, by the power of His resurrection, I choose. And you know, I know the path I'm going to walk. I know I'm going to, and if I stumble, trust me, it's going to be a mistake, and I will repent quickly. Three people in the Old Testament that were given to us examples: three kings in Israel, Saul, David and Solomon. They all sinned. Saul never really repented. David repented quickly. Solomon repented eventually. Which are you going to be? Okay? But we have authority to have a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't live for ourselves, but we live for him who died and rose again on our behalf, according to 2 Corinthians 5:15. And you know, it's interesting because we're reading a lot of funeral scriptures here, but I've often said those funeral scriptures, we should probably talk about them at places other than funerals. We do not sorrow as those who have no hope because of the resurrections. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. And take some time and read that and realize that that really was not written for funerals, although you can feel free to use it at funerals. I mean, it was written for everyday life. It was written for everyday life for people that felt like they didn't know what their next breath was going to be. But nonetheless, to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what tells us we're going to rise from the dead. You know, I mean, I remember meeting my first older saints that were near to death. And they really, I'll tell you something, they had walked in the power of his resurrection through life. And I got to tell you something, as they faced death, they had such confidence, it was like overwhelming to me. I still remember Bea Mirsky, and I don't think they get to listen to podcasts in heaven, but still, it's like, you know, but I mean, Bea, you know? I mean, she's the first I ever met, like, you know, a Christian who'd lived their whole life for Jesus, and now here they are. And she made her mistakes. Yeah, I'm sure she messed up. I'm sure she had to repent. Because, you know, Jesus really did need to go to that cross, by the way, for all of us. You know, even be sweet as pie, but anyways. And so she'd had some problem, gone to the hospital. And anyways, and so I asked her, what are they saying? She said, well, they tell me I can either go back to my apartment or I can go to like a hospice nursing home type of a thing. And anyways, they said, but if I go back to my apartment, I just need to stay there and only go out for doctor's appointments. And I said, so what do you think you're going to go do? She says, well, I think I'd rather just go home. I said, you go into your apartment? She looked at me like I was nuts, said, not that home. That's how at peace she was with what had been provided for her by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. She knew so confidently where she was going after this that there was the natural fears that we would normally have just weren't there. God raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that our faith and our hope are in God. You know, my wife was reading an article in some magazine paper, something like that, and anyways, and some people that was talking about miracles. Anyways, and it was, you know, there's some guy who'd been like the chaplain someplace or something like that, and I guess he'd had some miracles associated with his ministry and everything like that, and people had gotten to where they were praying to him after he died rather than to Jesus. And she asked the question. She goes, why do people do that? You know, why would somebody pray to somebody besides God? And, you know, to understand that there are many religions wherein you can't get to God yourself. Sorry, you're going to have to come through me. Not so. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and his power is applied to every one of us. Our hope and our faith is in God. And God has given every one of us access to him by grace, his gift, through faith. And wherever you are, whatever situation you're facing, no matter how difficult things may get, your hope and your faith are in God through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I you know, there was some places where it alluded to this, but I just came across this one that very clearly says with regard to everlasting life that God has not only raised the Lord, but it will also raise us up through his power. That's in 1 Corinthians 6:14. And with it, you know, I want to send you to your holiday celebrations with that in mind. You know, what it was that Christ did for you. What it was that the reality of it, the sheer reality of it. That you have 10 people. Judas committed suicide, and John, as far as we can tell, died on the Isle of Patmos with the other 10 apostles, all eyewitnesses to what Jesus had done, all eyewitnesses to his resurrection. All given the opportunity to say, nah, I was just kidding, all right? Wouldn't do it. They're eyewitnesses. They knew whether or not this was true. All of them faced their own martyrdom rather than back down on this issue of whether or not Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so to understand that you have everlasting life, you have forgiveness of all your sins by grace through faith in him alone, and that you have authority to live the life that will make you confident when you step into his presence. You have authority. And I remind you of it today to stir up those godly minds of yours by way of remembrance, to make you cognizant that in every word, in every step of the rest of this day and the rest of your life, you walk in authority. You know, the detective pulls out his badge and he says, excuse me, you know, I've got authority. You know, tell you what, pull out the name of Jesus because he's our living Lord. He rose from the dead. And we walk in that authority.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast produced every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. every week. We want you to know that we are available to you should you have a prayer request or a need. Just send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening, and God bless.